come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset, my life take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, here we are again this evening. I'm very glad to be with you as always, Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. in Tampa Bay. I am Mama Mac along with my wonderful co-host, the famous Dr. Angel Falzoni. You are famous. In a lot of circles, you're famous. Yes, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and those credentials are amazing to be able to do this type of show, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of experience and knowledge to bring in.
Exactly. And years of doing it. And currently you work for an organization and you oversee 5 different mental health facilities. Is that correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, that says a lot, too. And you manage a lot of people.
I'm a busy girl.
You are a busy girl. That's right. And we are so glad you've joined us out there tonight. And we always encourage you to go back and listen to these shows again and again. And where can they find those, Dr. Angel?
Well, they can find them right here on the TAN Talk, yeah. And they are all archived there. And they can also find them on our website at goyard2014.org.
That's it. It's a .org. And our website has really most, or if not all, the shows we've done. We've done a few reruns here and there, but for the most part, they're all there. So goyard2014.org. Why would somebody want to go back and listen to a show they heard before or something they missed? Why is that important?
Well, the nice thing is all the shows on the website are titled, so you'll know the topic that we're talking about. You know, and sometimes we're talking about a topic, and it may not relate to you today, but life happens. And when it does relate to you, you'll have a great resource to go back and use and get some real tools to help you get through.
Because we all need help with life, right? Yeah. We call ourselves a life coaching show. Why do we do that, Dr. Angel?
Well, because life happens. And, you know, we all get stuck from time to time or sometimes just unsure of the path we're going or where we're being. And so a little coaching and guidance can help steer us where we need to go.
It certainly can. And that's what this show is all about. And we are excited that you're joining us again tonight. And we've been in a series for the last couple weeks, boundaries. We've discussed boundaries different times in the 2.5, almost 3 years we've been doing the show. Why is this topic so important, Doctor?
Well, you know, boundaries is really a foundational topic to our mental health and to our relationships and to our life satisfaction. And if we can master healthy boundaries, it will bleed into every other area of our life in a positive way.
So in other words, we need to learn how to set those boundaries in our lives. We can't set them for others, can we?
No, we cannot. Boundaries is a personal, individual thing. Ah. I can only set my boundaries for myself.
Okay. So if a person out there is going, I don't even know what you mean by a boundary, can you give us an example before we start talking about more of this 10 laws of boundaries?
Absolutely. So boundaries are kind of our inside guide and our rules and how we live life. And we set it individually. It can be based on our moral code, what we want, what we desire, what we expect. Boundaries can be in our words. It can be in our relationships. It can be for myself personally. And it's a very individual thing. The important thing is to have boundaries.
To have them
defined. And clearly, you know, when I work with people and we talk about boundaries, I'm like, well, what are your boundaries? And they're like, what do you mean? What are my boundaries?
Exactly. That's why I think a lot of our listeners feel that way, Doctor. It's not something that they've been taught growing up a lot of times to set boundaries, right?
Well, we kind of are, though. Think about it. As a child, we have boundaries. You know, we're told to color in the lines. That's a boundary.
Ah, there you go. You know, good example.
Don't run across the street. Well, that's kind of a boundary. You know, our parents kind of guide us in those boundaries. And I think what happens is we see boundaries as something that's holding us back. And keeping us from things we want to do.
Good idea. We become adults, and
we're like, never mind, I don't want boundaries. I want freedom, and I want to do anything I want. And what we find is we have a hot mess, and we're kind of in a chaotic state at some point. And I like, and I know I've used this example, but boundaries are like the GPS of our car.
Okay.
You know, you plug in, this is where my boundaries are. We can plug that destination in and it will get us there.
Right.
And it'll keep us on the path we need to go. And we can explore little options here or there and know at the end we're still getting where we need to go. We have more freedom.
Very good. So it's directional. It helps us with a direction in our life through circumstances that happen. Okay, I want to throw something out at you that happened to me this morning.
Okay.
And before we get into these laws of boundaries, pick up where we were last week. So I'm driving home from the gym this morning fairly early, and I don't know, 9-ish, and pull into my subdivision, okay, right there. It's a big entrance. And I notice like a few hundred feet in front of me, these two vehicles have stopped, okay, right in the middle of the road, all right? So I pull up, and the lady left me just a little bit enough space to get around. But the one in the front jumped out of her car and walked up screaming at the top of her lungs to the lady behind her driving, "How dare you put that stuff online for everybody to see? I can't believe," and started, you know, cuss words flying. And I was able to get around it, but it looked like there was going to be actually a fist fight. And that's, you know, our neighborhood is 55 plus. So, I mean, it was like highly unusual, but maybe she was just driving through because these were younger people. So maybe they were just driving through. Comment on that, will you, doctor? Because, I mean, this lady in the front was super mad.
Wow. You know, in those kind of situations are not uncommon,
right?
In some way or another. I mean, it's an extreme example, but, you know, having our boundaries defined, first of all, we define how we let people talk to us.
Exactly.
And when we need to end a conversation, what we should be making public and not be making public. So that's where our there's a lot of boundary issues and just potential
right.
issues in that situation that we come across every day. Like, this is something we're dealing with, boundaries, if we have them or not,
right?
Every day. And so we need to take a step back and explore our own personal boundaries and value systems.
And especially when it comes to stuff online, don't you think? Because I heard her specifically say this part of it. How dare you put that online, whatever that was.
You know, and working with patients, social media has become one of the number one issues that are
yes.
causing, you know, stress, depression, anxiety, worry. Like, the social media frenzy has definitely, you know, exploded into our everyday lives.
Right.
And with people giving information they shouldn't be giving or whatever is happening, it is definitely impacting us and our mental health.
Right.
And so boundaries, definitely, we need to address our social media boundaries in that.
Absolutely. And when I encountered this hot mess right there, I thought, this just ties into our whole discussion of boundaries, because evidently the person in the car behind put something on there she shouldn't have, who knows what, and we could speculate all day, but we don't need to. It was just a violation of the person in front's boundaries.
She felt violated.
She felt violated.
Absolutely.
Right?
And, you know, and a lot of times we feel violated in our boundaries a lot in our relationships. When
right.
you're feeling sad, disappointed, frustrated in our relationships, there's probably been a boundary violation.
Right.
We just aren't able to see it that way
yeah.
until we really establish those boundaries. But those are what leads to those feelings.
Yeah, exactly. And so back to your point about social media, a caution to people. Do you want to say that?
Well, caution is you should have social media boundaries for yourself. And
right.
that means, what extent am I willing to make my personal life posted, you know, and put it out for the public? But
right.
when I'm talking and referring to other people, what
right.
am I willing to do? And you need to make those decisions and determinations.
And it's so important that we don't violate other people's privacy, right?
We should thinking about that.
I think what happened here.
Am I,
you know,
posting something that could potentially cause someone else harm? And if the answer is yes, you probably shouldn't be posting that. So
yeah.
a little thought into what we're posting, it can go a long way.
Absolutely. So boundaries protect us. Boundaries help us make good decisions in a way, right?
Oh, absolutely, they
do. Explain that. How can that be?
Well, you know, our boundaries are definitely based in our value system. So when we come across life, even good decisions, we
okay.
can use where our values and our boundaries in our life to kind of help us weigh out, is this a move I should make, or is this something that I shouldn't do. And so they help give us a standard that we can measure all kinds of things across in our life. Is this relationship healthy? You know, all kinds of stuff can be measured within our boundaries once we have them established.
So we did a series a few weeks ago, and if you missed it, you just go back to our webpage and or website and find it, The Value of Friendship.
Yes.
And we talked about the fact that you need friends, not just family members, but, you know, not just intimate relationships either. You need friendships. You need, And so often in relationships, boundaries are crossed that really cause a lot of problems. That's what we're, this example
and
gives
it's
you.
Probably the number one reason for a conflict in a relationship is a boundary issue.
Okay. All right.
I mean, if we really think about it. If we really boil it down to that simple, it's usually some kind of boundary has been crossed somewhere, or and that's where we lead to conflicts in relationships. So when we're not defining those for ourselves, when we're not really thinking about where should my boundaries be, where should they not be, then we're feeling upset usually more often. We're having more conflict in our relationships. We're kind of just wandering around in the ocean and letting the waves rock us and roll us everywhere it chooses to. We're giving our power away.
Right. Well, that's a perfect lead-in to where I wanted to go next, okay? The law three that we talked about last week, the law of power, okay? I want to talk about that before we go to the other ones. We're really ready for number six, but I want to go back to three because you just gave a lead-in to that whole thing about your power. And I find so often in helping people in the ministry that people give their power very easily. So I want you to talk about that and what does that even mean?
Well, they do. A lot of times we are given our power and we don't realize we're giving our power away. And then we become a victim is basically where we're at because then we feel powerless. And we do have power. We have power over ourselves. We have power over our attitudes, over our success, over our failures, over our behaviors. Like those are the things I have power over.
But we don't have power over other people. Is that what you're
saying? Not at all.
Not at all.
We do
not. That is such, hang on. That is such a definitive answer that you gave because sometimes you'll say, well, it could be,
Maybe
it could be.
Not at all. Absolutely.
That's your go-to phrase. You are saying, go ahead, repeat what you just said if you can remember it.
What we have power over is our actions, our attitudes, our behaviors, our successes, our failures.
Right.
Those are the things I have power over.
So, okay, when a person is going through a very difficult thing in a personal relationship and actually one person has filed for divorce, the other person hasn't, didn't like that, all that, etc., there can be so much boundary crossing in situations like that and so much, especially if there's a lot of anger and abuse involved, so much giving away of our power just to placate somebody or get somebody to shut up, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of people we get used to giving our way our power that we don't even see we're giving away our power. But we need to take that back because that's what we're responsible for. We're responsible to care for our power and to take our power and apply it to our life the way that we can change our life. Now, I cannot change you. I cannot change your decisions. I cannot decide if you're going to want to be my friend. But what I can have the power over is how I talk to you, how I treat you, how I respond to you.
Okay.
Those are my powers.
Okay. So in the instance of a person going through divorce, let's just use that, you know, current situation that I know about. Okay. When a person is going through divorce, the person who didn't want it so often will cross boundary after boundary after boundary to try to convince that the person who wants the divorce, Let's just not do this. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
And so if that person who's wanting the divorce does not have good established boundaries and does not follow through and hold to her or his boundaries, then there's going to be a lot of frustration and chaos through that process.
Right. And it's and because this isn't taught much, I believe that's a problem for a lot of people when they're going through a traumatic event like a separation or a divorce or.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've had a lot of practice with boundaries and apply it to my life. And I'm at the point where, you know, if somebody's crossing my boundaries, I know how to make that stop in that moment and so that they cannot cross my boundaries. And I've learned to guard my boundaries.
Give us an example. What would you do if you were the woman that was filing for divorce and the guy is absolutely abusive? Let's say it's been a violent, abusive relationship and he is pushing, you know, to communicate when every communication is abusive.
Well, I have the power over my communication, so I would not get involved in that communication. I would not answer
my
door.
You mean you turn off your phone, you block your phone?
Would not engage in that because I don't have to. That is a boundary I can make for myself.
Why don't you have to?
Because that's where my power lays. I am taking my power about how I'm engaging
so
in this.
So that's the important thing here on power. We take back our power, right? And we are powerless to change the other person, aren't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we're powerless to change them. And we may feel like we can change them. We may use manipulation and coercion. But the truth is...
Bribery.
It's unhealthy relationship style. And boundaries is based in healthy relationships and healthy mental health.
So creating boundaries, standing by your boundary, etc., really causes you to be a better person in a lot of ways and happier and
absolutely
safer and all of those things.
And the thing that's really cool with boundaries is they grow as we grow. So they're not like this crystallized moment in time that you make boundaries and that is the boundaries for my life. They kind of grow and change and emerge as you grow and change and emerge.
Okay. All right.
So when I first started making boundaries, my boundaries would be a little more, they're a lot more rigid than they are today, because now today I've found a voice where I can say no when I need to say no. And I struggled with that in the beginning. And so until I learned my power of no, my boundaries had to be a little more tighter. So now I can loosen them up a little bit because I'm stronger inside.
Okay. And that's a process, right?
It's a process.
And we talk a lot on this show about the power of the word of no. Right?
Absolutely.
And for the person out there who's going, hey, I'm going through something similar, maybe not that severe, but, you know, if I say yes to whatever the pressure is, then it makes my life easier, but does it?
You know, it does not when we fold. If we fold into our kids' negative behaviors, it's just making bigger problems down the road. And one of the things when I'm working with empowering people, I love the little line from Pretty Woman.
Okay.
Way Pretty back. It's a movie quote.
Pretty
but
woman.
It's really powerful if you think about it. You know, when she's like, I say who, I say when, I say how much. But that's your power.
That's right.
And
that's
we
exactly
do.
Right.
I can say who I tell things to. I can say when I do that. And I can say how much I need, what details I'm willing to give. And that's our power.
Right. Absolutely.
And I know it's a silly movie to reference such a
no,
powerful
no, no.
quote
that's
from.
That's a huge point as far
concept,
as boundaries.
It is.
I was teaching last night at church, and I quoted an author that I really love, Graham Cook, and he says, under pressure, this is not just a spiritual concept. This applies right here. Under pressure, people usually fold or focus. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, true. So when we fold, that's when we're like giving in. And placating the situation and just hoping it goes away. It's a passive role.
Right.
We just don't want to deal with it. Or we focus and go, how can I deal with this and move forward in my life? And those are the ones that are finding more contentment and happiness in their life because we're taking our power.
Right.
One, we're giving it away. One, we're taking it.
Huge point. Let's go to number six here. Law. The laws of boundaries.
The laws of boundaries.
And by the way, where did these laws come from?
Oh, first of all, this whole series that we've been doing has been adapted actually from the Boundaries book that was put out by Henry Cloud and John Townsend.
Okay.
And that book is called Boundaries, and it is available through Zondervan. So it's
so you've used that as, yeah.
We've based a lot of the principles all have come from that book. So
okay.
Go get it if you want extra information.
You want to say it one more time?
Absolutely. So the book is called Boundaries, and it's written by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, and it is available on Zondervan.
Okay.
In any bookstore. Like, it's a pretty popular book.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. The law of evaluation, law number six.
Yeah. So evaluation means we're evaluating the effects of setting our boundaries to be responsible to the other person, but that does not mean we should not set boundaries because someone doesn't like them or they respond
right.
in hurt or anger. Things can hurt without harming other people. So when we're working on setting boundaries, it's going to be foreign to some people in our life,
especially
if we don't have any. And that's okay because we have to give them time to start learning our boundaries too.
Right.
So that's where that rigidity, we need to be kind of guarded with how rigid we set those boundaries.
Sure.
It can come across very hurtful to people.
So it's not a good thing then to announce to somebody in your life, okay, I'm setting a boundary for you right now. Here's what it's going to mean. Here's what it's going to look like. And you're not going to cross it. That would probably not
would be
a good way to handle this.
Bad idea. And first of all, I can't set a boundary for you. I can only set boundaries for me.
Ah, okay.
So, but you know, when we're learning, like maybe we let people talk to us badly, and maybe I can say, you know what, I'm learning to establish some boundaries and I'm going to be a little guarded with, you know,
I will not let you cuss me out.
I don't want to be yelled. Right. If this starts to come yelling, I'm going to stop this conversation. And there's your boundary.
Okay. So that's a good thing to advise in advance.
Absolutely.
If you're in a very difficult, especially marital, personal relationship type thing where emotions run high.
People should know our boundaries.
They should.
They should know our boundaries. So, these are not secrets.
You're not advocating writing them out on a list and handing them to somebody that you date for the first time, right?
No, I'm not. But we should be able to communicate. Then we communicate them without causing defensiveness, without putting blame on other people. We can communicate them using I statements and taking responsibility for our boundaries. They are ours.
We talk a lot about I statements on this show. So define that again for the listener that might be listening for the first time. What's an I statement?
An I statement is just taking responsibility for your feelings or actions. So instead of using you make me feel XYZ, I am feeling XYZ.
Okay.
So it's just about taking that responsibility. And that's a boundary, taking our own responsibility. We talked about it last week in a lot of depth. So I need to evaluate how my boundaries are affecting the people around me. Now, it may be uncomfortable for some people. So am I giving them time to grow and get used to them too? And thinking about that.
Okay, so sometimes people can say, wait a minute, I don't like that boundary you just set, or they're not going to probably call it that because a lot of people do not understand that concept.
Well, you know, it's kind of like parenting. When we're working with our kids, we kind of got to sometimes remind them a little bit of our expectation, and that's kind of how this means. Like, so if I'm in a conversation and I might remind you if it's starting to get heated, you know, if we don't tone it down, I'm going to take a break from this and kind of give those gentle reminders an opportunity for people to kind of take it back into check without being like, that's it. You violated my boundary. This is done.
Yeah, we don't need that dramatic thing, right?
We don't. And there are, you know, good ways of handling that and grabbing reins. Just like with kids, you don't tell them your rules once, or you tell them expectations once and think everyone's, oh, we got it. They don't. And our people in our life will be the same way. We'll need to remind them and give them time to learn to adapt to them.
Right. Okay. So this law of evaluation, let's finish this and then we'll go to break. When we evaluate the effects of the setting boundaries, we can say, man, I set that boundary, but I crossed it, or I didn't communicate effectively that I was done with this conversation. If you're going to yell and scream and cuss at me.
Absolutely.
I've used the word cuss 3 times in the show.
You have.
I just never say that word.
People have been cussing at you?
Cussing. No, just those ladies this morning when they had their altercation.
Evaluation is a continual process. I mean, I can remember when my children were quite young and, you know, I had very rigid boundaries as I was learning them as well. And I made a punishment for my kids when they did something wrong that they would miss having to go to this church camp and that they had been planning to, and they broke the boundary and I had to stick to it. And I will tell you, that was really hard, knowing the crime didn't fit the punishment kind of thing. And it was an over punishment. And so I evaluated my own boundaries and decided that I would not put those crimes and punishments in the moment, and that I would take my time to consider it before I implemented it.
Oh, that's huge. That's great.
So that's what evaluation is. Like sometimes you'll put it out there and you're like, oh man, that was just
too much.
But we can, that's why they're emerging with us and growing with us. They're fluid.
They're fluid. I like that. We will be right back and talk more about boundaries today on Go Yard. Glad you're joining us.
Amazes me. Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Love that song. Wake up to your mercy. It's talking about God.
Yes.
That's an Amy Grant song, isn't it?
It is.
You pick our music, so, but I know that's an Amy Grant song. Welcome back to Go Yard, and we are so glad you're joining us tonight. And we are going to conclude our present series on boundaries tonight. So you maybe take notes or whatever, and always know you can go back and hear these shows right here at the TanTalkNetwork.com on podcast, and go to podcast. It'll probably be up later tonight or tomorrow, and you can listen to it or tell a friend about it. It's a great tool to go back and listen to shows. We talked earlier at the top of the show about how important our website and the podcasts right here are, aren't they?
Absolutely. They are just, it is an amazing amount of tools at your fingertips for free.
For free.
For
absolutely. Free counseling. That's what we like to call the show. Free counseling. All right. Dr. Angel, let's go back to our discussion of these boundaries. And we're on this discussion of laws. And we just talked about the law of evaluation. So one more sentence on that, and then we'll go to the next one.
Well, an evaluation is just an ongoing process of evaluating our boundaries.
Okay.
Do we need to make little tweaks or changes as we go?
I love the example you just gave about your kids and having a punishment that ended up being too stiff. I'm curious. Did you not let them go to church
camp? They did not go because my rule of what I say I mean and what I mean I say was a very strong boundary for me. So they did not go, but it broke my heart that week that I evaluated very, very much and made sure I never made that mistake
again. So this
again.
Is really a mature thing for parents and people in relationships, and we're all in relationships, to do, to not be so quick to throw a boundary out there that you can't stick with, right?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Boundaries are definitely something that we take time and we think about, and they're purposeful. And it kind of goes into the next law, is the law of proactivity. Boundaries are not to be reactive.
Okay.
Boundaries are to be proactive.
Oh, say that again so I can ring the bell.
Boundaries are not meant to be reactive. They're meant to be proactive.
Very important. So when we react in the heat of the moment is when we get into problem with our boundaries.
We get into trouble, just like I did with my kid's punishment. That was a reactive punishment. It was not a proactive punishment.
Okay. So what's the difference? Explain to our audience.
One is we react after an event has happened.
Okay.
And so usually it becomes more emotional based, less thought based.
Okay.
And usually it can be too much, too intense. You know, it causes issues. Proactive, we're not in the moment. The emotions are disconnected because it's not happening right now. And we're thinking about a future issue or a future problem. So now I can think logically.
Okay.
Because I'm not in a heat of an emotion. I'm not upset or angry or frustrated. I'm just sitting here on my couch. And how can I stop this from happening again?
Well, and that's such a good way to look at it and to think about parent and children interactions or family interactions. Maybe your mom drives you crazy. And so, you know, and you just react and say, yes, you're not coming back in this house ever again. Well, that's really bad.
Well, and oftentimes we are reacting.
Right.
And we react a lot. And we need to pause that. We need to get more proactive. You know, when I teach all the parenting classes I teach, that's the number one rule is, what are your top three rules your kids break? And let's think of consequences right now while we are can be proactive.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Because what do they usually say?
They look at me a little crazy. And then, you know, but I get buy-in because they see it works, because then we can lay out consequences. We're not in the moment. And now it's matter of fact. Okay, if this happens, here's the consequence.
Right.
Now I'm not an emotional parent. I'm parenting out of proactivity,
right,
and it's a lot more successful.
But Dr. Angel, I've known so many parents through the years, and I know you have too. And of course, I had three kids of my own, and now 12 grandchildren.
Congratulations,
and yes,
by the way. He's
new
beautiful.
New addition this week, little Joel Chase. He's great out in Texas. And so, you know, when you have people that, quote unquote, you're responsible for, your children, your grandchildren, not as much. I mean, I let the parents punish. I don't do that. Unless they're in my care, let's say, like the little twins that come and stay all night, that's different. Then I need to handle things in the moment, mm-hmm, right? But so often, it's the heat of the moment thing. It's yelling and screaming, you know? That's what it is. And
yeah, it's a trap.
And it's just so not good when we're raising our kids.
It's not good in any relationship, especially parenting relationship.
That's a good point.
But so we need to get a little more proactive. You know, people should not just know. I am so tired of hearing that excuse behind the counseling table. Oh, well, they should just know what I want. They should just know how to talk
really?
To me. They
you
should
hear
just
that
know
a lot,
how to
huh?
treat me. No, they don't, obviously, because they're not doing it. So maybe we need to help them to know.
Oh, let's go with a married couple on that, or people in an intimate relationship. And so often, well, he should have just known that, mm-hmm, I expected him to fold the laundry last, mm-hmm, night when he came home, right?
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff.
You got to use your words. I know I use that phrase a lot here.
You use that phrase all the time, and I love it. And you know what? I have really tried to work on that in my own life and just... And put out those expectations.
Absolutely.
You know?
And so don't be afraid to let people know what you need or want. You know, if you're having an emotional day and you just need that person that, you know, your intimate partner to give you a hug, come home and say, can I just get a hug?
Right.
I just had a hard day.
Use
Instead
your words.
Of expecting them to
and
figure it out.
And then getting hurt when you don't get what you want.
Absolutely. And then it causes, now we're fighting all night because you should have known, you should have hugged me because I had a bad day and you didn't. And now we're not talking, like, mm-hmm, total drama. How about just come home and be like, yeah, I did. I had a rough day. Can I just get a hug?
So
like,
good.
Tell them what you need. Or I'm overwhelmed. I really need, you know, could you help me wash the dishes?
Mm-hmm.
Let people know what you need. Most of the time they will respond and react positively when we're asking and letting them know I need this.
Back to the child example. Okay, because my twin granddaughters are really my great granddaughters. Okay, so they are almost four, and they just turned four. That's what's the matter with me. They just turned four, but they moved down here like over a year ago. So they were just still two at that point, almost three. Okay, and I have a setup in the garage on one wall where they have their own little kitchen and they have all that stuff. It's been a struggle. I will say to this in the last few months to get them to remember that when you take a toy out or you leave, you're riding your bike in the garage, it's not okay to leave your bike in the driveway so that I have to move it when I, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, but this is a problem. And as we train them up, they're much better. They were just there the other night. And I said, okay, that's fine. You can take everything out of the toy box if you want. I don't care. Go right ahead. But you're both putting it all back, okay? And before they even started doing that disaster that they were going to create, which they did create and they did put back, but it's taken some time of voicing my expectations. And now I've learned, do it in advance so that they know that, okay, yeah, it's fun to throw everything out of that great big toy box, but there's going to be time when you're going to put it all back.
Absolutely. And that's being proactive. And that's what I mean. It is reminding people in the moment or letting them know up front, like, right, this is the expectation. And so it's not a surprise. You know, it's like Christmas is every December 25th. Our boundaries should be that known. Like, it's not a surprise. People should know. And if we need something additional or extra, we need to communicate that. I need to take responsibility for having my needs met, which means I need to communicate my needs.
And back to the married couple or people living together type scenario, this I've heard a lot as a pastor, people very upset with their partner or their spouse because they expected them see that, yeah, you should be doing the laundry or you should be emptying the dishwasher or you should be mopping the floor. You know what I'm saying? Talk to us about that.
You know, probably a huge cause
failed
of divorce.
Failed expectations.
Because it's failed. But it's not communicated expectations. So we're villainizing this person for not doing what we need them to do, but we really didn't communicate that we needed it. And so when we're talking about proactivity, people need to know who we are, what we need, and they also need to know what we don't stand for. That's right. Just equally as important. And what we do and don't stand for. And in my house, I have this blanket expectation. I do not stand for lies, period, the end of the story.
Exactly, yes.
I will take anything in truth,
right,
but you lie to me and it's punishment times seven.
It's over.
And I stick to that. And so truth is a very valued expectation.
Yeah, yeah.
And people in my life know that and have come to respect that over time, I think. But training the kids, it was a challenge.
It's hard.
That is a challenge, but it's reminding them, it's visiting it, and it's being proactive.
Okay, so with that in mind, the person who is out there flying around on Match.com or whatever, okay, and they start dating somebody and whatever, they don't know this person very well, they're just dating, and it's wonderful, it's the honeymoon phase, it's all great. Very seldom, it's been my experience from knowing people who've done this, that very seldom do people clarify expectations or boundaries because I just want it to go okay. I just want it to be all right. And then bad habits set up.
They do. And we get caught doing that in relationships a lot. Like, we don't really want them to know what we stand for and don't stand for because we don't want to turn them off. But the truth, we're expecting them to fall into that. We need to let them know up front. You know, when I started dating the person I'm with, that was like the first conversation we had was, here's kind of who I am and what's my priority level. And if that's not okay for you, then we really don't need to go a step further.
I think, like, that's great. Yeah.
Because we need to communicate that. Now, you don't
Absolutely.
Have to be bold and, you know, I was pretty blunt about it,
but rude.
But you don't have to be rude about it, but no. And then I'll hear it with faith. A lot of times people will really value their faith, but they don't want anybody to really know, so they'll downplay it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that relationship gets more serious,
mm-hmm,
and they're wanting to get more active in their faith, and that other person's not supportive, mm-hmm, and they're like, how did that happen?
Or kids. Step-parents and kids, blended families.
Challenge in of itself. And so proactivity is really important.
Okay. Number 8, the law of envy.
Ooh.
What is that?
Oh, let me tell you what. Social media has really impacted this law more. And it's really when we're focusing outside of ourselves and our boundaries and looking at everybody else's lives and wanting everything they have. We're envious. And when we're focusing over there, we're first of all not taking care of our own stuff.
Right.
And we're not changing our stuff. So we're feeling empty. So every mm-hmm time you log into Facebook and you see all these great travel pictures and you're envious of the new house and the new boat, you're feeling empty inside.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly,
you're not taking care of my own and taking my power to make my life the best I can make it.
And that is, in my opinion, because people have a hard time, a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people have a hard time being happy for somebody else's success or something that's happened, their blessing, whatever you might call it. And it's like, why can't it happen to me type thing, you know?
Right. And they feel depressed, anxious, you know, empty, sad. They lose sight. They lose their energy. Now I don't really have the energy to put changes into my own life or make that investment in my own life. And then I feel more empty because everyone keeps moving more and, you know, getting more toys and getting, you know. And so envy is just, it's just a bad place to go. We don't want to go there. And if you're not content in your life, then let's look at that, examine it, take back your power, and start making some changes.
Because envy's like a merry-go-round, isn't
it?
You get on it, and it's hard to get off of it without getting hurt.
You're getting hurt. You are getting hurt, or you're going to vomit at the end. Like,
yeah,
it's not going to be a good picture. So let's be careful. So if you're feeling that emptiness from social media, maybe you need to like back off a lot.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people feel it. I hear about it a lot in the counseling sessions, and that social media has definitely led to that more envious. You know, before it used to be we would just read it mostly in magazines and movie stars, and we expect the movie stars to have the best life. But now when it's like my neighbor and, you know, my friend I was in third grade with, we do take it more personally.
Very hard.
Very hard. So
And just keep that in perspective. Just because somebody is showing all that success, let's say on Facebook or whatever, the new boat, the new car, whatever, doesn't mean that every other piece of their life is perfect, nor does it mean that they aren't in debt, like, hugely for that toy.
Or what else is going on under their scenes. You know, right. We're not posting all the bad stuff, usually. So just be guarded. I think that's the best advice I can give with envy. And if you're feeling envious, take a look back, step back, guard yourself from that.
Absolutely. Law number 9.
That's the law of activity. Boundaries are my favorite word. Purposeful.
That is your favorite word.
It
purposeful
is.
Purposeful and purpose and passion.
Purpose those and are passion.
Those are your words.
We have to be purposeful about creating our boundaries. It takes action. This is not a spectator sport. And we have to think about it. And boundaries will not just, boom, magically happen. Like, you know, we would like them to. There's not a magic pill. There's not anything that will magically make this work in your life. You've got to make this work.
So you can't just open a book and say, here's the list of the boundaries you should have in your life. There's 55 of them, and start putting these in your life. It's all personal, isn't it?
It's very individual and very personal. And the way we implement them are very individual and personal, depending on who you are and what your comfort level is and your confrontational level. Like, we're all individuals. And
right.
Boundaries are very individual based on our previous experiences,
right,
how we were raised. Like, all that takes an account of our boundaries.
And especially for people that are starting new relationships, or let's say you got a new daughter-in-law in the family. I've got two wonderful daughter-in-laws. I'm blessed in that regard. But you've got a new in-law that you have to deal with. These can be potentially very hurtful situations, don't you think?
Absolutely. The in-law dynamic in itself is a show, but can definitely lead to a lot of boundary issues and boundary crosses and failed expectations. But this is a good time to start talking about some of that, like, it's not in the moment. So if you're that, you know, the in-law who expects all your kids to be at the Thanksgiving table and all their families to be there, maybe we're in July, almost August, maybe we need to kind of start thinking, what will the holidays look like, and preparing ourselves if they're that we don't match expectations.
Boy,
and talking about it now.
That happens. Talk about it right
now.
Right.
You know, I can tell you that I had my ex-mother-in-law was one of those that expected everybody to be there at the holiday time. And I, as a new mom and having my kids, I wanted my own traditions.
Right.
And I wasn't that I didn't want to see them. They live local. We saw them all the time. So I wanted to make Thanksgiving with my own family. And it caused a drama in that family for years.
Right.
Because there was no talking about it. There was no, how can we do it different? Can we celebrate the weekend before? Like, what can we do?
Yeah. You know, and realistically, you know, your son and daughter-in-law, let's say, there's another family besides yours, you know? Like mine with my two sons and my daughter. Yeah, there's another family on every side of all that equation. And so you can't always get everybody together perfectly at Christmas morning, where we always open our presents. I have heard this for years with people that get very upset when they don't get to, when somebody gets married and then suddenly things are different because daughter-in-law wants to go to her family first.
Or
and
they
then,
have different traditions. Are they wanting their own traditions? And boundaries have to let people have freedom. Freedom is the core of boundaries.
Yeah, I love that. You said that you made that point a lot in the last 2 weeks. And this is part 3 of our boundary series, which terminates tonight. We'll start something new next week. But it's very important that boundaries actually give you freedom and help your life get better.
Yes, and we need to give people freedom and their boundaries as well. It's a two-way street. It's not a one-way. I want the freedom for my boundaries, but you don't get any for yours. Like, that's not how this works. And so it is about freedom. It's and thinking about it, but thinking about things when the emotion's not there, that's being proactive.
Yeah.
That's taking action. And so if you're in one of those situations where you have a lot of expectations and a lot of emotions and like holidays stink for your family, maybe we can talk about things and make plans now.
I have married, as being a pastor, I've married and buried a lot of people through the years. And if I do marriage counseling prior to a ceremony, I really like to point out this very fact that it's important that you discuss some of those hard issues, the trigger issues that cause a lot of hurt in advance, so you know what the other party's family expects and whether or not you can comply. And if you can't, and that's not what you want to do, like you said, you wanted to have your own family traditions with your three sons and your husband.
Yes.
Talk about that.
And so working and being proactive, that's about being proactive and thinking about things. And so we do need to lay it out on the table. We can't just, you know, go forward in this, you know, marriage relationship when we have all this, you know, stuff we haven't really talked about. They are important things.
They are important things.
And we should be able to lay it out. You know, you're not going on the first date and letting everybody, well, I want six kids and this and that. But as our relationship progresses, our conversations should progress.
And that's right.
The best advice for dating I can give anyone is just be you from day one.
And don't, you see those crazy movies, there are a lot of them out there where somebody has pretended to be something they're not, and then it always comes crashing down at some point. And,
it does.
You know, and then they realize they really do love each other after all, or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
But the comedies, but it's a real issue in life, don't you think?
Yeah, and just be yourself, you know. It's okay to say your likes and your dislikes, and that's, you need to do that. Those are where successful relationships start,
right?
Is when I'm just being real and being honest,
right?
Absolutely. Not trying to just impress you or win you over. If you have to force it, it's not meant to be.
Exactly. All right. Law number 10, and that's the last one. So talk to us.
That is the law of exposure, and we've kind of woven this through a lot, but that is really making sure our boundaries are visible and known to other people, and especially to people in relationship with. Exposing our boundaries, we can't expect people to read our minds and just know it.
Right.
We need to talk about it and talk about it frequently and talk about it over and over. And when we are solving relationship problems, we need to solve it with the person that we have the problem with.
Right. Oh, well, no, it's usually litigated with all the other relatives, et cetera.
Oh, yes. And really, a resolution can only happen between the two people. We should never be taking that problem outside those two people unless we are trying to gain a perspective or get professional help or advice. Like, it really needs to go. So call in, you know, you have a problem with your mom and you're calling your aunt and then you're calling this person, you're calling that person. Like, that is not how we solve problems. That's how we grow chaos.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's part of the exposure of our boundaries, is making sure that we're dealing with directly the people that we may have conflict with.
Absolutely. So now we got a couple minutes before we get out of here tonight. And tell me, what do you want our listeners to remember the most from, that's putting you on the spot, no preparation, I know. But what do you want our listeners to really remember? The word freedom sticks out to me as something that's really been talked about in these three shows. You want to talk about that?
Well, we need boundaries.
Okay.
If we don't have them, we need to work on making them. If we do, we might need to clarify them.
Okay.
I think we can all grow in our boundary department. Boundaries are about freedom. Boundaries are not about being selfish. That's like the number one, I can't, that's selfish. It is not selfish.
Right.
It is about guarding and having a healthy you, healthy relationships, and finding contentment. And so boundaries is very giving, and they're very contagious. And once, you know, people know what to expect, you become safe. You become more secure. You're more anchored. And so your
These
quality.
These are great benefits of establishing boundaries.
And you have better quality of life when you have those boundaries and you're practicing those boundaries. And the more you do it, the better you get. And it will be awkward at first. It's okay.
But it is really actually very freeing, liberating, don't you think? When people around you know what to expect, your kids or your relatives or your mother-in-law or whoever, that they know what's going to happen or not happen, even though you can't predict down to the moment. I'm not saying that. Generalities.
No, in generalities. And, you know, when just personally speaking in my life, you know, people pretty much know what to expect from me and where my lines and limits are. That's not a question. And if they try to push those, I am learned to be strong enough to not allow that to happen in my life. So I've learned to guard my own boundaries.
Sure.
For myself. And that's just practicing.
But you're saying you've learned to. Mm-hmm. It didn't just happen overnight. You didn't just sit down one day and write them all out. They come from experience with interacting with people.
Absolutely. And this is a learn as you grow kind of thing. And so you're going to make mistakes and you're going to, you know, have all kinds of things. But we learn when we examine our experience and we go forward.
And I think from personal experience doing this, that it brings more peace in my life when, you know, the expectations have been somehow relayed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, and just a simple thing of communicating.
Right.
You know, and learning not to expect people to read my thoughts and needs and wants. And using my words. You know, like, I've had a very stressful month with my job and I sat the kids down and said, Mom's having a stressful month. I need you guys to pick it up a little bit around the house. I need you to do a couple extra chores.
Very good.
Guess what? They did it.
Yeah.
People, you know, will respond when we lay out our needs.
Absolutely. And you have wonderful sons, by the way. All right. Dr. Angel, this has been an amazing series. We've talked about boundaries different times through our almost 3 years of this show. But we come back to it because it's vital. It's so important, isn't it?
It really is. It is, you know... I told you it was the anchor that we start building our foundation on. Nothing can be built healthy without healthy boundaries.
All right.
The good thing is we can go back and lay that in if we haven't yet and
you
start
can do
making those
it. You
relationships
can do it.
Healthy.
You can do it. Take your power back.
Take your power back.
www.tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts and you can catch the shows you've missed in this series. This was the last one in this series. All right. We are going to start something new next week. Dr. Angel, it's always great to have these in-depth discussions with you. I love doing the show. It's fun.
I love doing the show. It is fun and it's energizing. And it really is giving great tools to everyday, you know, to individuals out there listening every day.
All right. And who are you?
I'm Dr. Angel.
And I'm Mama Mac. And this is Go Yard. And we'll see you next week and have a great week.
Good night.
So.